Blog Talk Radio.
Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. This is the Sisterhood Exchange radio show, which is the home of the book club. It's been so for the past several weeks, and it will continue to be so for the next several weeks. Tonight, we are up to part two of the Sisterhood Exchange book, the paperback version of the book, and I am pretty excited. You know, we've had some really interesting and enlightening shows over the past several weeks as we've spoken about the Sisterhood of Self, the part one of the book, The Sisterhood of Self. So I am your very grateful host, Michelle Hollinger, and before we get started with our discussion, let me do a little bit of housekeeping. The phone number to call in if you'd like to ask a question or share a comment or a brilliant insight. I love brilliant insights. The number is 646-595-2081. Once you call in, if you'd like to speak to me on the air, just press 1 and I'll get an indication and I'll bring you on gratefully. The other thing I'd like to remind you, if you're listening for the first time, inform you that there's a Facebook page called The Sisterhood Exchange, and I encourage you, if you're on Facebook, to click on the like button so that you'll be kept up to date with what's going on with that page. It's a lot of fun. That page is a lot of fun. I post inspirational, motivational, sometimes challenging information just to elevate sisterhood, celebrate sisterhood, honor sisterhood, and to just constantly remind us that this thing is not a dress rehearsal. You know, life is in session, and what we're doing with it is up to us. And so that's what that page is all about. That's really what this whole discussion is all about, because as women, we just have this beautiful gift called sisterhood, and the way that we engage it, the way that we participate with sisterhood has a huge impact on the quality of our life, you know? And so the whole idea behind the book, The Sisterhood Exchange, behind this radio show, and behind this book club discussion is to have a higher level discussion of sisterhood, something that's unlike anything that I've seen lately. Sisterhood has gotten, you know, on a large scale, a bad name. You know, when you look at the reality shows and some of the stuff that goes on social media, some of the videos, some of the posts, sisterhood has gotten a bad name, and that's not all there is to sisterhood. So I just I'm grateful that I get to have this forum where we can have discussions about what sisterhood really is. So I've given you the phone number, reminded you about Facebook, informed you if you're listening for the first time. I told you my name, right? Michelle Hollinger, very, very grateful host of this blessing of a radio show. And The book, The Sisterhood Exchange, is available. If you don't already have it, you can get it on Amazon.com in the ebook format, which is immediately downloadable. So if you want to have it, if you want to have it to follow along with, as we have this discussion, you can do that from Amazon. It's also available in paperback version on Amazon for $12. And if you would like to get an autographed version of the book, you can order that from my website, which is michellehollinger.com, and I will get that autographed version out to you pronto. So, as I mentioned, over the past several weeks, we've been discussing part one of the book, and the book is divided into two parts because essentially, you know, as I prepared to write the paperback version of the book, let me backtrack. The hard copy of the book was published some time ago, maybe a year and a half ago, And as you guys know, when a book is published in paperback, typically the content remains the same. The packaging is the only thing that's different. But in this case, the content of the paperback version, it just became increasingly apparent to me during prayer and meditation that there was a whole lot more that spirit, that the universe, that God wanted to say through me as it relates to sisterhood. So the paperback version of this book is really an entirely different book than the hard copy. It includes everything that's in the hard copy, but so much more. So I would encourage you, if you don't already have it, to pick it up. It's really in divine order. I believe that this conversation about sisterhood is just very, very timely. I think that women are ready to have this kind of conversation about sisterhood and recognizing that sisterhood and the quality of our lives, sisterhood and our decisions to move out of our comfort zone, sisterhood and our willingness to face fear in the face and to move forward. Again, recognizing that this life that we are gifted with is not a dress rehearsal. So, yeah, the last few weeks we've been discussing the paperback version, part one of the paperback version, which is the sisterhood of self. And so I'm going to do a brief recap of part one so that the discussion that we will begin tonight on part two, which is sister to sister, will make sense. Okay, so we started out by reviewing, of course, what is the sisterhood of self. And so in the preface, I went into, you know, exactly what sisterhood is initially. We went into what sisterhood is. And sisterhood is a gift that every single woman has. We're born with the gift of sisterhood. And how we engage in sisterhood, again, is really, really quite telling, because the way that a woman engages in sisterhood is essentially the way that she engages in her self-talk, whether she's able to self-forgive, just how she interacts with herself. And so in addition to giving an explanation about what sisterhood is, in the preface, I talked about how what the sisterhood of self is. And essentially, little girls are exposed to sisterhood from day one. From the time that they're born, they're exposed to sisterhood by way of their mothers, their aunts, their sisters, the women in their family, the women that they're exposed to when they end up going to school, the women in their neighborhood. Little girls are exposed to sisterhood from the very beginning, and their ability to observe the way that women behave around them as it relates to connecting with other women, it informs them about what sisterhood is. And so in the preface, I talked about how if little girls are only exposed to low-energy sisterhood, then they come to believe that that's all there is to sisterhood. If they're only exposed to the adult women in their lives, gossiping, backstabbing, you know, having negative things to say about other women, if that's all they're exposed to, then they tend to normalize that. This is in general. It's definitely, you know, not the case in every single situation. But it's more likely that they'll normalize and internalize that perception of sisterhood. Okay? So if that's what they're accustomed to at home, but they're also exposed to a different variety of sisterhood, if they're also perhaps at school exposed to women who get it, who understand how powerful sisterhood is, and their modeling, their behavior as relates to sisterhood is something that is different from what these little girls are getting at home, then the likelihood that that negative brand of sisterhood, the likelihood that it will take hold of them in a strong way is lessened, because they've had an exposure to something different. And so, and it may not even be something that they're consciously aware of at that time, but subconsciously they've gotten the message that, okay, there's more to sisterhood than what I've been exposed to, okay? And so we talked about in the preface how all women have an SOS, which is the sisterhood of self. It's a phrase that spirit pour it through me. I have my name on it. I coined it, but sister spirit poured it through me. And the sisterhood of self essentially says that the very first relationship that a woman has is her relationship with herself. Okay? The second, and it's the one that we're going to get into tonight when we get into the sister-to-sister conversation, is the one that she has with her mother. But initially, the very first sisterhood exchange that a woman has is with herself. And so the sisterhood of self essentially describes how I interact with myself, how a woman interacts with herself. What's her self-talk like? Is she willing, is she able, is she capable of forgiving herself for poor mistakes poor judgment and mistakes from the past? Is she serious about going within in the silence on a regular basis, often enough that she accesses her inner splendor in a way that it just reveals itself to her with clarity and with power, so that she understands that she's able to embrace what her life purpose is? Our life purpose is enmeshed within our inner splendor, and we only access it by going within in the silence. So we talked about that in the preface. Let me back up a little bit. We went into the seven principles of the sisterhood of self, the SOS. And the very first principle, of course, is that every woman has an SOS that is either active or inactive. The second principle says that the SOS is activated by spending time in the silence daily. Okay? The SOS cannot flourish if we are constantly preoccupied with everything external, if we are constantly preoccupied with television, radio, social media, everybody else's opinion, the talking heads, you know, family members who may have opinions about who we are and what we're here to do. If our focus is outside of ourselves more often than not, then the likelihood that we'll activate our SOS is slim to none. All right? The third principle says that self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. And once you get into the habit of spending time in the silence, it's a gift that you bestow upon yourself, the ability to forgive yourself. It's just, you just start to develop this deep level of compassion for yourself. You start to understand, you know, the magnitude of that statement that Maya Angelou said: when you know better, you do better. And your ability to look back on things that, you know, you may have beat yourself up about, your ability to look back on those things with compassion and to exercise a degree of self-forgiveness gets stronger the more you spend time in the silence. Okay? The fourth principle says the effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. Extremely powerful, extremely deep. You know, once we start to spend time in the silence, once we get to that, into that space where, you know, self-forgiveness starts to kick in, and not only are we able to look at things from our past and decide that we are no longer willing to beat ourselves up about it, okay, but we also get into the habit of, you know, just on a day-to-day basis, if we somehow fall short of our own expectations on a day-to-day basis, we just realize that, okay, tomorrow's a new day, and guess what? I'll try to do better. Tomorrow's a new day, and I will do better, all right? So self-forgiveness just becomes a part of our personal dynamic, our personal way of moving in the world. We recognize that, again, this is not a dress rehearsal, and we also recognize that this whole activation of the SOS is a process. It doesn't happen, you know, with a snap of a finger. It's not a magical thing that just happens immediately. It's a process. And so we have to be patient with ourselves. And self-forgiveness, you know, a regular dose of self-forgiveness is a huge part of the equation, a huge part of the equation. You're doing more right than you're not. And it's just really important for us to be gentle with ourselves and to practice the deepest kind of love that we possibly can as we move through this thing. Okay? So the next principle says that an active SOS thrives in gratitude, and that is gratitude for me, and you guys have heard me say this ad nauseum, that gratitude for me is a game changer. It just changes the way you look at life, and it's a huge part of activating and maintaining an active SOS, because when you are able to immerse yourself in gratitude and, you know, live in gratitude on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't mean that, you know, suddenly you no longer have any issues or challenges or problems that crop up, but the way you look at those things changes. The way you look at it, the way that you look at a situation that in the past may have caused you grief, may have caused you to feel some kind of way, when you are immersed in gratitude, it just helps you to just make a shift that changes the way that you see things. You don't sweat the small stuff as often as you may have in the past with gratitude, because gratitude just helps you to see that, you know, everybody is doing the best they can with what they know. Everybody is doing the best they can with what they know. That can scare you, you know, or that can excite you, or it could do a little bit of both. But you just start to recognize that, you know, it's just not worth stressing out over some things, and gratitude helps you to just really make that shift. One of the things that I really encouraged, especially when we talked in about the gratitude groove in one of the chapters in part one, was maintaining a gratitude journal. Really powerful gift that you can give to yourself, maintaining a gratitude journal, because it solidifies gratitude in your life. It anchors it, you know, in a way that that nothing else can. There's something about putting your blessings in writing on a daily basis that signals to your subconscious mind, continue to bring these types of experiences, continue to bring these types of people into my space, into my life, because what you focus on most is what expands in your life. Where your attention goes, your energy flows, and like energy attracts. What you think about, what you focus on, that's what you attract into your life. That's why the principle that talked about the effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. That's why that's so important, because your energy is far more powerful than you realize. And your thoughts are made of energy. Your words are made of energy. What you speak acts as a boomerang that goes out and grabs those experiences, grabs those people, and brings it back into your existence. And so it's extremely powerful, extremely important that as we seriously, you know, embrace our sisterhood of self, that we recognize that our thoughts and our words have power, and we have the power to determine what they are, you know. What research says that human beings think up to 60,000 thoughts every day, and it says that 98% of those thoughts are repetitive. You know, we're creatures of habit. We think the same kinds of thoughts day in and day out, right? But if we're not paying attention to those thoughts, then they can run rampant in our mind garden, is what I like to call it, our mind garden. So, you know, are we allowing our thoughts to act as weeds, or are we allowing flowers to bloom in our minds? You know, what kind of thoughts are you thinking about on a day-to-day basis? And, you know, it typically falls into either predominantly negative kinds of thoughts or predominantly positive kinds of thoughts. And, you know, when you start to just pay attention to the kinds of thoughts that you're thinking, you recognize, first of all, you know, whether they're mostly negative or mostly positive, and you can do something about it. You can start to, you know, pay attention and substitute out those negative thoughts for positive thoughts. It's extremely, extremely powerful. Let me breathe. And if you're just joining me, this is the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. We are up to part two of the Sisterhood Exchange paperback book. Part two is Sister to Sister, and I'm in the middle right now of doing a recap of part one, which is the Sisterhood of Self. Okay? And so I'm down to the sixth principle, which says an active SOS provides access to inner splendor, which reveals life purpose. And, you know, I mentioned all the time that there's really no way for us to access our own life purpose if we're not engaging, if we're not connecting with, if we're not accessing our own inner splendor. And you can only access your inner splendor in the silence, because it's the only way that you can hear your own thoughts, hear what's going on in your mind. It's the only way that you can determine whether you have work to do, and, you know, not whether, how much work you have to do, because we all have work to do in order to, you know, substitute out the negative thoughts for the positive thoughts. And then once you do that, it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process because what we're inundated with, you know, externally, it promotes, you know, just maintaining negative thoughts. So it takes effort, it takes consistency, and it takes practice. So the last of the seven principles says that the quality of a woman's SOS determines the quality of all of her other sisterhood exchanges. And that's what part two essentially talks about. Okay, so let's see. I'm not going to go through every single one of the chapters from part one. Let's see. Just skip over. We talked about your thoughts, your life, disconnect to connect, which, you know, essentially says that we recognize how important it is every day to unplug and to spend some time in the silence. And that can look however you need it to look. It doesn't have to look the same for everybody. Everybody may not, you know, fall into the habit of meditating. Meditating is powerful. It's awesome. Spending time in the silence can, for you, include taking a walk in your neighborhood, you know, where you're just alone with yourself, alone with your thoughts, alone with what's going on in your mind. You know, it could be that you want to go sit on the beach and just, you know, have some quiet time. Or it could be meditating. Meditating, as I said, is extremely powerful. But it's important for you to be true to yourself. It's important for you to honor who you are and how you vibe. Because if you tell yourself, okay, I'm gonna start meditating, but it's not something that resonates with you, then the likelihood that you'll drop it is stronger than if you recognize that, okay, you know what, taking a 5-10 minute walk in the morning before I head off to work, you know, fits in with who I am. So, you know, essentially I'm just saying find something that works for you. Find something that will allow you on a day-to-day basis, on a daily basis, to make this commitment to yourself about spending time in the silence so that you'll do it and you'll continue to do it. And you'll get to a point where you recognize that, oh, my God, how have I been surviving without this, you know? So one of the other chapters that we talked about is listen to your inner critic. And the more you start to spend time in the silence, we already have this inner critic that shows up. She shows up on a regular basis. She's pretty powerful because she has been responsible for this thing called self-sabotage that we've engaged in the past. Whenever we decide that we are going to step out of our comfort zone, whenever we decide that we are going to take a risk, whenever we decide to do that thing that scares the bejesus out of us, we are faced with this inner critic, because to her, change equals unsafe. Anything new to her is, you know, it makes her feel a certain kind of way, and she feels like she has to try to rein you in. And the way she does it is by saying these things that we're accustomed to hearing, and she says it in such a way that it sounds like a legitimate reason, not an excuse. She has a way of convincing you that now is not the time to go back to school. Now is not the time to apply for that particular job that you've been eyeing. Now is not the time for you to, you know, seek the promotion, start the small business, whatever the case may be. Whatever that thing is or those things are that will help you to step out of your comfort zone, when you get serious about that, she has a way of just kind of whispering just the right thing at just the right time to convince you that you shouldn't do it. And so in that chapter, which is a really important chapter, because we've all been faced with this, we're all faced with it, right? What this chapter says is that you can't silence her. She has a very important role. You can change what she's saying to you, though. You can train her to be an ally instead of an obstacle. You can train her to understand that she has a role to play, but she's been playing the wrong role. So you have to help her to see that you're the coach of the team, she's a player on the team, and you give her, you show her the plays that she will execute. And you do that by listening to what she has to say. One of the ways that you'll be able to listen to what she has to say is by spending time in the silence. Listen to what she has to say. Hold it up to the light. See it for what it really is. Try to look at it objectively, right? So if she's whispering to you some foolishness about why you shouldn't go back to school, okay, ask yourself, how much merit does this really have? You know, really, really look at it. Don't let her rule you, you know, that way. Look at what she's saying and look at whether it really has merit or not. And the more you start to question it, the more you start to recognize when her statements, when what she's whispering to you has its source in fear. And if it has its source in fear, then it's something that you can work to dissolve with your truth. Sometimes what she says has some merit to it. If it does, take that and use it to prepare you for it. If it doesn't have any truth to it, then you can, the more you hold it up to the light, the more that you spend time examining, analyzing, you know, processing what she has to say, the more you can be in a position of power and say, okay, not this time. You know what? I'm moving forward. I am definitely moving forward. And so you need to find something else to say. So we went into a nice discussion in that particular chapter. And let's see, another chapter that we did in the Sisterhood of Self talked about, I've talked about that already, the power of thoughts. I won't rehash that. But you know what? One of the things that we talked about in that chapter is just how easy it is to get into the habit of, you know, saying really popular phrases that upon closer inspection we recognize to be more damaging than we give them credit for. So, you know, that phrase, if it's not one thing, it's another. I talked about that. And, you know, it's one of those things that many, 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 many people say. But when you think about it, when you think about what that phrase really means and when we tend to say it, we tend to say it when something negative has happened, right? And what we say to our subconscious mind is, if it's not one negative thing, it's another. And I've told you guys how powerful your subconscious mind is and how obedient, because it does what we tell it to do. And it takes on the energy of the statements that we make to it. So if we're saying, if we're in the middle of a negative experience, right, and the energy from that negative experience is flowing and it's impacting our subconscious mind, and then we say something like, if it's not one thing, it's another. We deepen the negativity of that experience, and then we're also saying to our subconscious mind, bring me more experiences like this one, because if it's not this, then it's something else. If it's not one thing, it's another, right? So what I wanted to just kind of convey with that particular chapter is how important it is for us just pay attention to what we're saying, just to give it some thought, just to give it some thought. If it's not anything that, you know, you find that is being ineffective for you, then you should by all means continue to say it. But when you start to analyze it and you recognize it, you know what, maybe this might be one of those things that I eliminate from my vocabulary, then, you know, you have the power to do that. Breathing here, guys, breathing here. I talk about how important deep breathing is, especially when we're having powerful discussions like this, but it's also, you know, just a powerful stress buster. You know, if you're in traffic, if you're, you know, just in the midst of a challenging situation, and even if you're not, deep breathing is just powerful. That's why you guys hear me deep breathing all of the time on this show. All right, so one of, and I say this too, my favorite chapters, I think every chapter is my favorite chapter, but the chapter on If We Knew Then What We Know Now, that was a doozy. That one was a really powerful chapter to discuss because, you know, we get the message that we are supposed to look back on who we were when we were younger with a critical eye, that we're supposed to look back on, you know, those times in our lives and analyze and dissect and do the whole coulda, woulda, shoulda dance, you know. And I just firmly believe that that is a waste of our energy, you know. It's a process because, you know, as human beings, I think it's just, you know, we have this natural tendency to do that. But I just strongly encourage us to just kind of reconsider it because everything that has happened in our past is over and done with, and we have no power over it whatsoever. None. Zero. And so I encourage us to look back at our past only if doing so will somehow, you know, improve our present. If so we can look back on our past to see the things that we did well, to see what we did right, by all means, look back. Look back, look back, look back, if that's what you're looking back for. But if you're looking back to, you know, beat yourself up because, you know, you didn't do a certain thing a certain way, or you weren't a different kind of person than you know, what you were, then I'm just really encouraging you, as relates to that, to cut yourself some slack. And that particular chapter, I think I know that the end of that chapter, I encouraged you to write your younger self a letter, but instead of a letter that looks back and says, you know, that hi, guys. We had a little technical difficulty there. I hope that I am being heard. Got a message on the studio screen that I was disconnected for. I hope it wasn't too long. I hope it was just for a brief moment. Okay, and I apologize for that. So, yeah, I was going over if we knew then what we know now and how we should cut ourselves some slack. Then another really powerful chapter is deciding that you're worthy. Decide that you're worthy. I talked about how worthiness is like electricity. It flows within, but it must be turned on in order to fulfill its purpose. You are worthy. You were born that way. You are worthy of every goodness available in every aspect of your life. And I talked about how important it is for us to decide that we are worthy. And that worthiness has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with anything external. It's an inside-out job. It's an inside-out job. And, you know, one of the things about our past that is connected to this whole worthiness discussion is that, you know, typically when we look back at our past to beat ourselves up, it feeds this sense of unworthiness. And so if we are maintaining any allegiance to something in our past that feeds this sense of unworthiness, then it's even more important for us to decide that we're going to cut ourselves some slack about our past. So that whole worthiness discussion is another really, really powerful, really important one. And it begins with a decision. It begins with a decision. And again, it doesn't mean that, you know, once you decide that it's just this magical thing that happens automatically. It takes work. It takes consistency. It takes you deciding, if necessary, every day that you're worthy until that thing, you know, kicks in and it's just a natural belief that you have about yourself. And then the last week's discussion, which was the last discussion of part one, was the need to be. And I hope you all who listened last week did your homework, that treat to yourself to find the video, the live video of Gladys Knight when she performed her song, The Need to Be, on Tyler Perry had a talk show. I think it came on at night. I'm not sure. I did not even realize at the time that he had one. But it was short-lived. But on one episode, he had Gladys Knight on the show, and she sang that song. And when I say she sang that song, she sang that song. The lyrics to that song, you know, those lyrics are just powerful. So that was a homework assignment. You can still catch up on it if you did not do your homework from last week. But, yeah, that's a really powerful song that goes along with this powerful, powerful chapter. And essentially what we talked about with the need to be is that, you know, once you start doing the work to activate your SOS, once you start on a regular basis spending time in the silence, you know, immersing yourself in gratitude, once you are, you know, in the habit of not only forgiving yourself for things from the past, but just, you know, on a day-to-day basis, when you know, something doesn't go the way you want it, you know, or you, for whatever reason that day, you weren't feeling up to it, you did not do your best, maybe you snapped at somebody, you know, and it was out of character for you, just being willing to forgive yourself. But the more that you are immersed in those principles, this urge that you know, is within you that has been there all along, and, you know, some of you may have experienced it, but there's just this inner urge to just be, you know, to be the hero of your own story, to you know, it's not about having, it's not about doing, it's just to be, to be your authentic self, to be true to who you are, to let your yeses mean yes and your noes mean no, to just stand in your truth unapologetically and without explanation. That's what we talked about last week with the need to be. And it's powerful. I listened to last week's show, and I should have counted the number of times that I say powerful, because I say powerful a whole lot. I'll probably say powerful a whole lot again tonight. But as it relates to the sisterhood exchange and the sisterhood of self, power is a huge part of it. Authentic power, recognizing and owning our own power to create the life that we want to live. And so I don't think I can say power too much. Power, 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 power. Okay. So that brings us up to part two, sister to sister. And I mentioned before that the book is separated into two parts, the sisterhood of self and then sister to sister, because as within, so without. The way I treat myself, the way I talk to myself, the seriousness, you know, that I engage the silence with myself, all of that, determines how I interact with other women, women that I know and women that I don't know, women that I'm close to, women that I see from afar, you know, women that I have powerful relationships with, women that, you know, that are just acquaintances at work. It impacts the way that I interact with every single woman that I encounter. Okay? And so to start with the sisterhood of self was, you know, logical, made sense. Okay, so now we're going to go into the sister to sister. And it starts off with a poem that I'm going to read for you right now. And the name of the poem is called The Sisterhood Exchange. And it says, you see her with fine-tuned vision, clarify essence. You see her in your home, on the screen, in the street. You see her as residual fear, rejection, unworthiness, and at least one of the isms grow smaller in the distance. You see her head held high, beaming eyes, her SOS radiating sparks, familiar eyes reciprocate, whispered thanks to him for her, an unspoken, deeply felt, you go girl. Mutual lights glowing, lifting, honoring, and each strengthening the other through the energy exchange called sisterhood. I love that poem right there. And it really just sums up what happens when you get to that point in your life where your SOS is not only activated, but it's consistently nurtured and strengthened. Some of you already experienced this, you know, just the sisterhood of self. You know, I mentioned that I coined it, but it describes, you know, just the quality of being, a quality of moving in the world, you know. And women who understand sisterhood, who embrace sisterhood, who understand that it begins with self, the way that they treat other women is indicative of that. You can spot an authentic woman a mile away based on how she treats another woman, based on how she reacts when another woman excels, based on how she, you know, what words come out of her mouth when another woman is successful. Okay? And so this first chapter in part two is Sister to Sister. And it's on page 49 if you have the paperback, and I'm going to go into that now. And it reads, one of the benefits of an active SOS is that you begin to see the sacred in the space where other women exist. You become keenly aware that your possession of an SOS is universal, that all women have one that is either asleep or awake. And the more awake yours becomes, the more you want other women to experience it too. You begin to understand that a woman's current issues did not magically appear, and you're willing to exchange judgment for compassion, because as Sister Maya Angelou wisely told us, when you know better, you do better. Your quote-unquote friends and enemies are morphing into friends and teachers. Increasingly, women who want to see you shine start to appear with regularity, just as you're wondering, what's up with your growing desire to see other women excel? Where jealousy rear its head in the past, you're surprised by a bubbling joy that now feels real. A subtle desire to improve the quality of the energy that flows sister to sister is emerging within you. Like dormant faith, a mustard seed-sized bit of intention added to an active SOS takes your sister-to-sister exchanges to an entirely different level. And I just can tell you from experience, and I know that many of you who listen can also attest to this, when you get to that place where you recognize, as the first paragraph says, the sacred in the space where other women exist, you have embraced the highest level of sisterhood. That's what sisterhood is supposed to be. This other stuff that we see where, you know, where jealousy rears its head and, you know, women are on these reality shows backstabbing and gossiping and, you know, resorting to fist fights and, the you know, cursing each other, that's not sisterhood. That is not sisterhood at all. Sisterhood is not supposed to hurt. It's not supposed to do harm. It's not. It is not supposed to be negative. Sister to sister says that the way that I see another woman is a reflection of how I see myself. And the more time, the more energy, the more intention that I place on my sisterhood of self, it informs the way that I interact with other women. That's what this sister-to-sister thing is all about. And it's not, it's the reason that this book is so important, the reason that this kind of discussion about sisterhood is so important is because it changes our lives. And when we change our own life, the people around us benefit. It has a ripple effect. Our families benefit, our communities benefit, our states, our nation, our cities, our nation, the world. Women can, oh Lord, women can change the world. Women can change the world. That's one reason why I am so excited about Loretta Lynch's appointment as the Attorney General of the United States of America. Because women, in addition to our brilliance and our expertise and that just, you know, the professionalism that we bring to a particular field, we bring this dose of compassion. You know, we have this ability to empathize and sympathize in a way that most men can't. And it's just a blessing of this feminine energy that we're born with. And when we get it, man, we can change things. We can really change things, beginning with our own lives. That's where it starts. We deserve to live the life that we're here to live. We deserve to do that. And it's never too late to start. It's never too late to be who we are here to be. It's never too late. As long as we have breath in our bodies, it's never too late. And the icing on the cake of an active SOS is this beautiful exchange that we have with our sisters. Sisterhood is not supposed to hurt. It's just not. It is just not supposed to hurt. Okay? All right, so let me breathe. And let me give the number again. So if you guys want to call in and get in on this discussion, the number is 646-595-2081. And once you call in, if you'd like to make a comment, ask a question, or share your brilliant insight, then just press 1 and I'll get an indication and I'll bring you on to the program, okay? Before I get into the next chapter of Sister to Sister, and this is a very powerful chapter on honoring your first sisterhood exchange. I just want to ask any of you guys who are listening, you know, if you're willing to call in with your opinion about what sisterhood is. I would really love to hear that. You will call in with your opinion about what sisterhood is and how it shows up in your life, you know, and are you engaged, you know, in sisterhood in a way that is, you know, benefiting you and the women that you interact with, or are you having some challenges with it? How is it manifesting in your life? So give me a call at 646-595-2081. to share your thoughts on that particular perspective, okay? Okay, so the next chapter in Sister to Sister is Honor Your First Sisterhood Exchange. And that one is another really, really powerful one. There I go again with that word, powerful. Sisterhood is powerful if we allow it to be. You know, the kind of power that we can infuse into sisterhood is up to us. It is completely up to us. Okay, so let me go and read this particular chapter for you. Living from the sisterhood of self allows you to see all of your relationships with other women as sacred, none more so than the relationship with your mother. As you were growing up, your mother undoubtedly said or did something to either contribute to or delay the activation of your SOS. Consider yourself blessed if you have had or you continue to have a mother who played an active role in you evolving into the special woman that you are. These women guided you to the lessons beneath the experiences, help you to grow through your pain, and try to make certain that you dusted yourself off after a fall, standing taller than before your stumble. These mothers were there with an encouraging word, a sympathetic ear, and a loving embrace for a job well done. They saw your potential before you knew it existed and were thrilled at your self-discovery. These women love you unconditionally. They see in you a part of themselves and revel in the second ascension of an authentic woman if they are living their truth, and the first if their authenticity was somehow stunted. The blessing of having a mother so described is tremendous. The awareness of the blessing is sublime, and the opportunity for unique expressions of gratitude exquisite. If you haven't already done so, add another day of celebrating your earthly mother to Mother's Day and her birthday. Choose a date that holds special meaning to you both, and create a unique and memorable celebration that includes the two of you. Including others is optional. Maybe it's a special trip, a spa package, a heartfelt letter, or a floral bouquet. Maybe you begin a collection for her that you add to on the special annual date. Whatever you do, however you do it, she should know, aside from the typical holidays that celebrate her, that your soul is grateful beyond measure to have her soul shining its light on your path. If you have a woman like that in your life, or if you had a woman like that in your life, you are blessed beyond belief. And those few paragraphs just really encourage you to celebrate her, you know, above and beyond Mother's Day, above and beyond her birthday. And, you know, women who have mothers like this, you may already have traditions in place. You may already have, you know, just regular things that the two of you do together to celebrate her. But what I'm encouraging you to do, you know, aside from that, is to have an intention that says, you know what, I recognize what a gift this woman is in my life, and I am creating a special celebration that honors her for being the woman that she has been, that she continues to be in my life. That is extremely, here I go again, guess what word I'm going to say, powerful. Yes, it is. Okay, so I'm going to continue reading now the second half of this chapter, which is deep. Okay, so I'm on page 52, if you guys are following along in the paperback. Okay, bottom half of the page. If, on the other hand, your mother somehow delayed or intentionally blocked the activation of your SOS, you must also thank her. To understand why gratitude is in order, you must first understand the role and the wisdom of your soul. Before you existed, your soul and God collaborated on who you would be. God blessed your soul with the ability to see all earthly mothers, and knowing what it knew about you and your divine potential, your soul chose a mother who could best guide you to your truth. The mother who could create the lessons in your life that would help reveal the essence of who you are. This mother seems powerless. She's not. She's full of power, simply unaware of this existence. This mother had the activation of her own SOS delayed or shut down. She has felt the need to be, but kept it under wraps to keep the peace, and I put peace in quotation marks. Recognizing it in you, her girl child, rendered her numb, unable to ignite the fire that fuels creativity, ambition, authenticity in herself or anyone else. While her SOS, that part of her that knows better, rejoiced when you excelled, your mother subdued her joy. Unfamiliar to her is the energy of authenticity. The girl child who activates her SOS on this darkened path owes her mother's soul a special debt of gratitude. Your soul and your mother's soul entered into a collaboration of their own for this special training program. Both knew well the necessary classes and special lessons required for evolving to this point in space, this place in your life where you have this truth to share as a part of your divine purpose. In your retrospective glances at your life, when you examine your defining moments, those that revealed your strength, your courage, and your wisdom, they were those things that at the moment seemed the cruelest. The events that carved your character were those that seemed at that moment insurmountable. But surmount them you did. The evidence, your eyes on these pages. Your current perspective of these events actually determines whether you contribute to or delay the activation of your SOS. If you are still holding on to anger, grudges, or anything of the sort towards your mother, forgiveness is in order. Without it, you cannot get anywhere near your true potential. Here's why. The relationship between you and your mother is your first sisterhood exchange. The energy that you exude towards your mother casts a powerful glow over the quality of your life. Authentic success cannot be yours if the energy that you exude is negative. Authentic success, the activation of your SOS, is an inside-out job. A woman who projects a successful external life but secretly harbors resentment towards her mother is not authentically successful because she has not truly activated her SOS. On the other hand, the woman who has been able to free herself from being a hostage to her past, from being painfully chained to events over which she has no control, the woman who understands that when a woman knows better, she does better, has surely positioned herself to fully activate her SOS. If she has not already tasted the sweetness of her authentic life, it is rushing enthusiastically into her existence. Find a way that feels right for you to salute your mother for doing the best she could with what she knew. Including her is optional and something that you may or may not eventually accomplish. This is about freeing your soul. Find a way to honor your soul for choosing her soul to create the divine opportunity to be you. Find a way to thank her for your incredible life and to forgive her for the pain you think she intended for you. This is a very challenging chapter, but it's also a very sacred chapter. The entire book, of course, is sacred, but this particular chapter really gives you the opportunity to release some hurt, release some pain if the relationship with your mother is not what you wanted it to be or if it's not what you want it to be. The relationship that you have with anybody in your life, if you want that relationship to change, it begins with you. To look to the other person, to look to the other woman in your life, and expect her to change in order to improve the relationship, it causes you to relinquish your power. Because if she doesn't do the work, if she's not aware that she can do the work, okay, then what you're saying is there's no way for this relationship to change. And even if the focus is not to change the relationship, the intention could be just to change the way that you see the relationship. The intention could be for you to change the way that the relationship impacts your life, because if it's one of those relationships that is causing you to expend a lot of negative energy wishing that it had been different, wishing that it could be different, reliving things that have caused you pain and anguish, that's a lot of energy that you could be using to create the life that you want for yourself. And what I'm suggesting with this particular chapter is that if you have had or if you continue to have a challenging relationship with your mother, you have the power to shift the way that you see that relationship. You can shift your perspective of that relationship from one that is causing you this pain and this anguish to one that where you see that everything happens for a reason and that you were gifted with this particular mother for a particular purpose, that only this woman could give you the gift that you needed in order for you to be the woman that you are today, in order for you to become the woman that you are moving towards in your future. And it begins with you being willing to see the relationship differently, to being willing to understand that from a sacred, spiritual perspective, this woman's presence in your life is a blessing. May have been, may be a blessing in disguise to you, but it is a blessing nonetheless. There are things about yourself that you would never have learned if she was not your mother. There are things about your character that would not have developed into what it is now if you did not have some of the experiences that you had with your mother. One of the best examples that I can give you about how powerful it is for you to recognize that your mother's presence in your life is sacred, regardless of what she's been able to give to you or not give to you. Her relationship to you is a sacred, it's not a coincidence. It's not. And she could not be anything other than what she was. I was about to give you an example, the most powerful example that I've ever seen, and it's regarding Oprah Winfrey and the relationship that she had with her mother, the relationship that she has with her mother. If you watched her show, you know that she ended up being raised by her father, and she did not have a close relationship with her mother. She did not have a close relationship with her mother. But Oprah was able, because of the spiritual work that she's done, because she has made a practice of spending time in the silence, listening to her own thoughts, examining her life for clues about, you know, what it is that she is here to do. And Lord knows she's here doing what she's supposed to do. But also examining the roles that other people played in her life. And so she was able to look at the role that her mother has played in her life, and she was able to, first of all, understand that when you know better, you do better, right? And she was able to understand that her mother could not give to her what her mother could not give to herself. And so she spent some time understanding who her mother was as a woman, was as a little girl, is as a woman now. And she was able to forgive her mother for her mother, you know, not being able to do more than what she actually did in Oprah's life. And she was able to recognize that her mother's presence in her life was a gift. Oprah said that her mother and father only made love one time, that they did not have this long-term relationship. They weren't dating, you know, for this long period of time. They did not have a relationship after they conceived her. But they made love one time, and Oprah Winfrey was conceived from that one act of passion. Her mother gave her a gift. Oprah wouldn't be here. The Oprah Winfrey that we all know, well, most of us know and love, would not be here if her mother had not had that experience with her father. If that's the only thing that she's grateful for about her mother, that's enough. But here's what happened with Oprah. Because she was able to see how sacred her mother's presence is in her life, because she was able to step into a place that said, you know what, my mom did the best she could, my mom is my mom is my mom, because she was able to forgive her, she was able to clear that space. She was able to recreate that energy that surrounded her mother, right? And because she and her mother did not have that close relationship, but Oprah was still craving a strong mother figure in her life, she attracted Maya Angelou into her space. Let that marinate. Let that marinate right there. Because Oprah was able to see the sacredness in her mother's presence in her life, but also recognized that it just was not in the cards for the two of them to have this loving, nurturing relationship because they just weren't capable of that, right? But because she did her work, because she still revered her mother and she's grateful for her mother, even though her mother wasn't able to do more than what she was able to do, Oprah Winfrey was able to attract into her life Maya Angelou, the wonderful, wise, sacred, spiritual Maya Angelou as a mother figure, and create a relationship with Maya Angelou that fulfilled her at a deep and profound level, at the level that a mother, you know, who has activated her SOS and who is living in her truth, who has accessed her inner splendor. That kind of mother can create the kind of deep connection with her daughter that helps a daughter to be who she's here to be. Maya Angelou ended up being able to play that role for Oprah because Oprah did her work as it relates to her mother. I'm saying all that to say, if you have had it, or if you continue to have a challenging relationship with your mother, the first thing that's in order is for you to recognize that her presence in your life is not a coincidence. You got the mother that you were supposed to have. She's a gift. She is a gift to you. That's the first thing. And then if there's any forgiveness in order, then you owe it not only to her but to yourself. One of the things that happens when you have one of these kinds of relationships that requires forgiveness, and you recognize that your role in possibly, potentially transforming the relationship, it has to start with you. It has to start with you having the intention and the willingness. And this works whether your mother is still living and breathing or whether your mother has already transitioned. This works regardless of whether you are, you know, on the phone with your mom on a daily basis, or you guys speak once a week, or you guys have not spoken in the last 3 years. This works regardless of where she is physically, emotionally, and spiritually in your life. The things that you want to accomplish in your life, if your relationship with your mom has been challenging, if it's you know, one of those areas of your life that requires this attention, I guarantee you that if you put in the work to free up that energy, some of these other things that are important to you that have eluded you for whatever reason, they will start to become so clear to you because that energy that you've been expending. And you can't beat yourself up about it. That's one of the rules of the Sisterhood Exchange. We are not allowed to beat ourselves up about anything because when we know better, we do better. This is a process. This is a part of our evolution, the way that we evolve and become more, never less, of who we are. When we are on that kind of path, when we are setting that kind of an intention, only good can come from it. And we are not allowed to beat ourselves up about anything that has happened or that is happening now. We have to treat ourselves with loving kindness. We have to be gentle with ourselves. We have to understand that beating ourselves up does not produce growth, does not produce development. It keeps us stuck. That energy stagnates us. And this whole relationship that we have with our mother, oh, my God. I can't really even tell you. Yes, I can. Spirit, God, bless me with this insight, with this wisdom, because you guys, those of you who've listened on a regular basis, you know that my mother transitioned when I was 11 years old. And so, you know, my experience with a mother-daughter relationship in the physical realm is limited. In the physical realm, I say, is limited, because in the spiritual realm, my mom is still available to me. She came to me in a meditation probably a year and a half ago that was, oh, my God, that was the most sacred, the most powerful meditation I've ever had in my life, ever, ever, ever had in my life. And I just really want to encourage you to, you know, just give some thought. take it into the silence. You know, pray about it. If your relationship with your mother, if your mother has already transitioned, this is even more important because you are the only one that can shift that energy now. You are the only one. And even if she has not transitioned, even if she is still here, you are the only one who can shift that energy. You know, your mom, she can shift the energy too, but it has to come from her perspective. And you can't force her. You cannot force her to shift her perspective. You cannot, you know, inform her that she has to do X, Y, Z in order for her to show up in your life as a mother that you want her to be, that you need her to be, okay? That's not how it happens. It's just not. And one of the things that does happen when we make a decision that we are going to do what we can to shift the relationship, sometimes we don't even have to have a discussion with the other person. The energy that we begin to exude, you know, towards them, that's cloaked in the forgiveness that we've practiced, that is, you know, immersed in this just newfound understanding that, you know what, she did those things in the past that caused me pain because she did not know any better. And it doesn't mean that, you know, that she was not capable of comprehending a better way, right? But what happens with us as human beings, whatever it is that we were exposed to, it shapes the way we see the world. It shapes the way that we move in and out of relationships. It shapes the way that we engage people. It does. And even if we, you know, consciously grow up saying, you know what, this person treated me this particular way, and when I'm an adult, I'm not going to do that. Even if we consciously say that to ourselves, there are situations, there are experiences where, you know, people who grew up in an abusive environment, whether it was physically or emotionally or what have you, they grow up telling themselves that, excuse me, when they are in that type of relationship, when they become a parent, they have guaranteed that they're not going to treat their child the way that they were treated. But you have people who fall into that same pattern because that's what they were exposed to. That's what they learned. That's what they internalized. That's what became normal for them, right? And so when we are able to consider that if our mothers show up in our lives in a way that caused or causes us to have a stagnated SOS, it behooves us to consider that perhaps she was on the receiving end of a relationship like that with the adults in her life or with an adult in her life. We don't just grow up as, and you know, when we turn 18 or when we turn 21 or when we become a parent, we don't just, you know, we're not able to just snap our fingers and, you know, we get it at that moment. Childhood determines the kind of adult we become to a large extent. And we cannot minimize the extent that childhood has on us, the impact that it has on us, right? And if we're able to see that for ourselves, if we're able to see how our childhood informed how we see the world, we owe it to our parents, we owe it to our mothers to consider that perhaps that same experience is also true for her, that something in her childhood informed the kind of woman that she became, something in the way that she was treated by her parents or the adults in her life impacted the way that she sees the world and impacted on the kind of mother that she became. Whew, this chapter is a life changer, not only for you if this is an issue for you, but it can also be a life changer for your children, your daughters, the women in your life. I mentioned that, you know, when we get it, when we understand the sacredness and the wisdom and everything wonderful that comes along with sisterhood, when we get it, it's a ripple effect. It is a ripple effect. And so with this particular chapter, if you were able to stand in your own self-forgiveness, first of all, and then you're able to extend that forgiveness to your mother, okay, that energy changes, and the people around you, people who were and are aware of the challenges that existed between you and your mom, they will see something happen. They will see something happen in the dynamics of that relationship that will impact them too. So you will be blessed, and you will be a blessing to someone else. I'm breathing on this one, y'all. I am breathing on this one. This one right here is, wow. I had, with the hardback of this book, this is one of the chapters that was in the hardback, and I had a young woman to give to send me an inbox message on Facebook that talked about how, you know, she had had for a long time a really challenging relationship with her mother, and it caused a lot of pain, and, you know, they just weren't doing well. But then she read this chapter, and she said in that inbox that she understands that her soul and her mother's soul entered into this collaborative agreement in the spiritual realm to help her to become the woman that she is now. And she just, you know, she was just really grateful that, you know, for the impact that this particular chapter had on her life. You know, I would love to hear, you know, where she is now, and, you know, where she is as it relates to the relationship with her mother. But yeah, this particular chapter is really, really important. If this is an issue for you, I just encourage you to, when you spend time in the silence, to spend time in the silence with this particular chapter and allow it to just, you know, seep into the crevices of your heart and allow it to speak to you. Because the way that you decide to move forward with the relationship with your mother, it's going to show up differently for each one of us. It's going to show up differently for each one of you. If this is a challenge for you, it will show up differently. And it has to be something that comes from the inside out. You have to, you know, just be willing to spend that time in the silence with yourself and take this into the silence with you. Take your relationship with your mother into the silence with you and just ask your inner splinter to reveal, how do I move forward? If forgiveness is necessary, how do I embrace the ability to forgive her for what she has done or what she is currently doing? How? When you ask the right questions, the right answers appear. That's how it works. When you ask the right questions, what you need to know to move forward, what you need to know to do what you need to do as it relates to that particular relationship, they show up. Okay? Have a few minutes left. I'm going to give the number one more time, just in case you guys, after hearing this discussion, this monologue on honoring your first sisterhood exchange, you can call in and share. The number, of course, again, is 646-595-2081. I know that you guys know this number by now. And, yeah, so if you want to call in, you can do that. So this particular chapter is one that required a lot of energy on my part, a lot of spiritual energy, because I wanted to make sure that I delivered it properly. And so I'm going to end the show with this particular chapter and let you guys know that next week we'll move into, okay, page 57, stop gossiping. That's another doozy. That is another doozy. You know, gossip is one of those things that seems all innocent and you know, harmless. And what we don't know is we do more harm to ourselves than we do to the subject of the gossip. So, yeah, we'll get into that discussion next week. So I don't see any calls, so I am going to tell you guys good night. Thank you again for joining me for this episode of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club Part 2. We began tonight, Sister to Sister. Again, last several weeks we did Part 1, The Sisterhood of Self. And, you know, the next few weeks we'll be rolling along with Sister to Sister and just talking about the whole dynamic between women and how we can set an intention for how we want sisterhood to show up in our lives. And if you've already, you know, if you're already in the habit of spending time in the silence, forgiving yourself, making gratitude a permanent part of your existence, then the way that, that you roll sister to sister, you it just pours forth, you know. It just it's just this natural part of who you are, you know. And I know a lot of women who get it, a lot of women who get it. And the other thing that happens with that is that the deeper you immerse yourself into the sisterhood of self, you know, and all the principles that go along with that, then you start to attract other women into your life who also get it. You know, women who are living from their false sense of self, which is one of the things we talked about in the preface and when we talked about the sisterhood of self, women who, you know, don't realize that they have this power inside of them, those women live from their false sense of self. Those are women who engage in gossip. Those are women who, you know, don't spend any time in the silence and who are preoccupied with all things external. The reality shows, the, you know, gossip sites on the internet, everything, you know, outside of themselves. And they attract other women who operate from their false sense of self into their space. But when you immerse yourself in the sisterhood of self, then the way sister to sister, the way the sisterhood exchange unfolds in your life is from that space, and that energy attracts other women into your life who also get it. And that's a really powerful thing to have happen in your life, to have other women who also embrace sisterhood to show up in your life. That's just, it's sweet, it's sacred, it is, it's magnificent. Look at that, I used a new word, I did not say powerful, although it is, it's powerful, but it's magnificent, and it's what sisterhood is supposed to be. It really is, and we were born with it, and things, you know, experiences covered it up, and when we start to peel back the layers by, you know, activating our SOS, then we give this gift of the sisterhood exchange to ourselves. We give this gift of this high level, this high quality version of sisterhood that shows up sister to sister. We are genuinely excited when another woman excels. You know, we feel good when our friends are, you know, able to get the promotion. You know, if she's able to do something that makes her happy, we're happy too. And when we see a woman on TV who's doing well, we feel good for her too. That's just how it starts to unfold for you. And, you know, if it's not something that you're accustomed to, it can feel weird. You know, you can feel like, what the heck is going on here? But I just encourage you to stay with it, because it's a life changer, and it's the way sisterhood is supposed to be, right? Okay, so one more breath as I thank you all again for tuning in, and I encourage you to come back again next week and tell a few friends, tell some sister friends, tell some women in your family, some women on your job to tune in to the Sisterhood Exchange radio show, which is for the next few weeks the home of the Sisterhood Exchange book club. And again, if you don't already have the book, I encourage you to either go to Amazon.com to get the ebook or the paperback, or if you would prefer to have an autographed copy, you can go to my website, which is michellehollinger.com, and I will get that out to you. So with that, I'm going to again thank you for tuning in, and I'll be with you guys again next week for another riveting discussion about sisterhood next Wednesday at 7:30. Have a wonderful night and a fantastic weekend. Peace. Thank you.